I mentioned at the beginning that today is the feast of Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta. This is her death anniversary. She died in 1997. It's good to call to mind people like Mother Teresa because she's a saint of our own times, a modern day saint. Perhaps you know that the understanding of Mother Teresa shifted a little bit after her death. She was, for most of her adult life, the icon of service to the poor, the example of what Christian service to the poor is all about, care for the poorest of the poor, a woman who sacrificed herself for the lowest. But after her death and after some of her writings were revealed, Mother Teresa also became an icon for someone who persevered in darkness. She experienced a long and intense interior darkness and lived basically on faith, on hope. Even though she was no longer experiencing powerful grace, she trusted that grace was still at work and she just kept going. So a combination of the exterior life, the ministry to the poor, and interior life, powerful confidence in God. Today's psalm response is a beautiful one. It's related to this idea of hope. I believe that I shall see the good things of the Lord in the land of the living. It's a beautiful thing to say. I believe that I shall see the good things of the Lord in the land of the living. As if to imply, I don't see them yet. I'm not there yet. In Christian tradition, the land of the living is heaven. That's where everyone is fully alive. I'm not sure what the psalmist was thinking when he said the land of the living, but that's how it's interpreted now. And so this is an expression of confidence, of faith, that I will see the goodness of the Lord. I will see the bounty of the Lord, the good things of the Lord in the future, even if I don't see them now. That's hope. Which is one of the essential aspects of living as a Christian. A Christian lives in hope. It doesn't mean living in denial of difficult and painful realities. Living in hope allows a person to be realistic about what we're facing now without despairing. And that's a great combination, to be realistic and still full of hope. We have to be realistic. We can't deny that there's just an extraordinary amount of suffering in our world, in the lives of our loved ones, and sometimes even in our own lives. It would be foolish to pretend that everything is fine. At the very heart of our religion is the cross, the experience of suffering, the experience of shameful, painful death. It's right at the heart of our belief that God himself took on this very real experience of suffering and death. So when we look around and we see suffering and death, we see wars, we see economic hardships, we see illnesses, we see corruption, injustice of all kinds, people in the millions suffering, we say, well, where's God? Where's God? Well, God has taken on this condition. He hasn't separated himself from the suffering. He's become one of us in this fallen world. But not in order to only to die with us, but also in order to rise for us so that we can rise, so that we can have this hope, that we can believe that we will see the good things of the Lord in the land of the living. This hope has permeated the readings from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, which we've been reading in the last several days and last week. Paul, addressing the Thessalonians, was acknowledging that there are some things that are difficult to process, to put up with. For example, some of the Christians had died and the Lord hadn't come yet. And they were thinking, oh, too bad for them. They died before the second coming. And Paul said, no, you don't have to worry about that. And then there was this concern that, you know, people are being overtaken by darkness, because remember, the early Christians were living in a time of very severe persecution by the Romans and even by the Jews. So they had lots of reasons to be afraid that things are going wrong. Things were going wrong. But Paul keeps saying, no, don't worry about all these things. Don't live in false hope. Yes, we're facing trials, but we are not children of darkness. We're not children of the night. We're not living in fear of God's wrath all the time. God doesn't have wrath in mind for us, his children. He has destined us for salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then he says at the end of today's reading, Jesus, who died for us, is the reason why we can encourage one another and build one another up. We can live in hope. In today's gospel, Jesus encounters a man with an unclean spirit. And it's interesting to ponder what the demon's perspective is on the future. Remember, this is Jesus, the beginning of his public ministry. He has gone to Galilee. He was rejected in Nazareth yesterday, but he goes now to Capernaum, which becomes his home base for a while. He gathers some of his first disciples in Capernaum and that region. And he goes to the synagogue, and there's this man with the unclean spirit. And the man with the unclean spirit says, What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? It's a reaction of fear. He feels threatened. He thinks that the Holy One of God, he knows Jesus is the Holy One of God, is against him. And it's true. It's true. He is against him. Jesus has come to overthrow the kingdom of the evil one. The problem here is not that Jesus is the enemy. The problem is that the evil spirits have set themselves against God. And so, of course, they feel threatened when God comes along and he's more powerful. But you see, the attitude of the demons is that God is against us, that God is not on our side, that the approach of God, of his Holy One, is bad news. So whenever we are tempted to think that the unfolding of God's plan is bad news, or that what God is doing is not good, we're being tempted by demonic thinking to conclude that God is out to destroy us, or that God is out to deliberately make things worse for us, is demonic thinking. And we should have nothing to do with it. Jesus says, be quiet. Be quiet. That kind of temptation has to be immediately rejected. That temptation that says God is somehow not trustworthy, or not good, or at least not doing what is good right now. No. It's true that we experience bad things. It's true that we experience suffering. That's part of the realism I was mentioning. Opposition, persecution, suffering of all kinds. But that doesn't mean that God is out to destroy us. He can be purifying us. He could be allowing us to experience consequences of our sins. He could remind us that we are living in a fallen world with fallen people, and we ourselves are part of the problem. He could be humbling us. He could be doing a lot of things through suffering, reminding us of our dependence on him. But he's never against us. He's never out to destroy us. He wants us to have confidence that we will see the good things of the Lord in the land of the living. So the Christian life is a life of hope, no matter how bad things get, no matter how painful or how dark things get. We have confidence that we will see the good things of the Lord in the land of the living because of who God is. Not because we're good people, because we have some kind of special strength or special gift, but because of who God is. God did not destine us for wrath, but to gain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. And because God is on our side, who can be against us? Who can defeat us? No one can. So let us not defeat ourselves by buying into demonic thinking or rejecting the truth of the goodness of God. But our confidence, our hope is entirely based on the goodness and the victory of Jesus Christ.